Hey, this is Steve, and this podcast is all about making the gospel relevant to your life. That means discovering the good news of Jesus no matter what you're going through today. Today, we wrap up this message series called God Never Said That. And Pastor Jason Turner asks the question, does it really matter what I do? Jesus forgives me, so as long as I'm not hurting anybody, it doesn't matter what I do. Is that true? Is that what God wants for you? Is that the definition of spiritual maturity? Let's listen to Jason and see what he has to say today.
You know, a lot of the things that we've been unpacking these past several weeks have to kind of do with the cultural values that we find ourselves here in 21st century Western America. You know, and as I was thinking through this, I bet that the cultural values that existed during Jesus's time were quite a bit different than what we value today, don't you think? I think probably one of the main cultural values during Jesus's day was justice. People really had a mindset toward retribution, eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why Jesus's message was so revolutionary, because it really did kind of go against what they were teaching, to love your neighbor as yourself, pray for your enemy, pray for those who persecute you. And I think that's why Jesus was such a revolutionary then and today. But I think one of the main cultural values that we see here in 21st century America is tolerance. Tolerance is a huge cultural value that's propped up a lot today. And the definition of tolerance has kind of changed over time. Tolerance used to mean that we value all people. And that's a good thing. And that's a good thing. We believe that. But now it's evolved to mean that all different ideas and all different beliefs and all different behaviors are equally valued. It's unacceptable for a person today to say that what you think or what you believe or how you act is wrong. And there's a phrase that's used very often today. And the phrase is, I'm offended. I think that has become really a buzzword lately, and different concessions are made to different groups who have different ideas and different behaviors all the time. And I wonder, what is that creating in our society? What is that creating in us? I think we can see a lot of this reflected even in what we call things today. Now, it's pretty obvious in the video that we showed before what kind of videos the guy was looking at on his phone, right? Pornography. Okay, but instead of calling a spade and calling it what it is, we tend to call it adult entertainment. Or if you have an adultery is even softened to say, well, it just had an affair. Or premarital sex. Okay, guys, listen, we're diving into the deep end this morning, okay? Because we're talking about behaviors. So, amen. You know, strap your boots on, I guess. I don't know. So, premarital sex is referred to as hooking up or as fooling around, and everybody else is doing it, so it's okay. But guys, listen, I want you to hear this loud and clear this morning. If you don't hear anything else that the Holy Spirit has to say through me, please take this to the bank. Our behavior follows our belief. Write it down. Take a picture with your phone. But it's true. Our behavior flows out of what we believe. All right? So, the myth that we're going to debunk today is that it doesn't matter what you do as long as it doesn't hurt anyone. And I think because we're talking about behavior, you can't really sidestep the fact that we have to talk about sin. We've got to talk about the bad and the good in our lives, okay? So just taking the gloves off there, get you guys set up for it. And in talking about our behavior and in talking about sin, I think there's really three kind of cultural misconceptions about our behavior that I want to touch at that I think will give us a fuller picture of how to debunk this saying. And the first myth, the first blank on your page is that I'm not a bad person. I am not a bad person. So it was that activity that we did at the beginning where you pointed at the person around you that was the best person you saw and the worst person you saw. How did that kind of flow for you guys? What went through your mind? Did I go okay? I think a lot of times it's easy to compare ourselves to other people, right? Yeah, it's pretty easy. Because I can also guarantee you something else. Number one, that our behavior follows our belief. But number two, you will always be able to find somebody that's worse than you. But guess what? You'll always be able to find someone who's better than you. But I think when we look at that, we've got to see who we're comparing ourselves to. John had something to say about that in his book, 1 John. Let's check out this verse. If we claim that we have no sin, let's just change that and say, if we claim that we're not a bad person, we are only what? Fooling who? I mean, you're not fooling me, because I know me, and not living in the truth. We are only fooling ourselves. There's this idea called humanism. I don't know if you guys have heard of it, but it's the idea that we exalt human behavior to be something to strive after. Positive self-talk and human behavior is something to hold up. But we see here in this verse that that really just clashes with what God says. You see, there's this street evangelist named Ray Comfort. And he approaches groups of people on the street and he asks them a series of questions. Now, what I want to do now is I want to kind of replicate what he does with all of us in here. All right, so you guys ready? All right, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to raise your hand if you've ever told a lie. All right, so if you've ever told a lie, what does that make you? A sinner, a liar. Good. Now, I want you to raise your hand if you've ever stolen anything before. All right. If you've stolen something before, what does that make you?
A thief.
A thief. Good. Now, just because I want to see you squirm, I want to see, raise your hand if in here, if you have ever looked at anyone with lust before. Okay. See all the spouses kind of hesitant to do that. When you read what Jesus says, Jesus said that within the heart of lust, that kind of equals adultery. Okay? So based on our own admission, because I'm in here with you guys too, we are all lying, thieving adulterers. Welcome to the Orchard Church, where we're here to make you feel better about yourself. But guys, listen, when we tear away the myths that exist and we lift ourselves up as good people, we see how quickly that's torn down. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 3 that no one is righteous. No, not one. Lexi, we're all in this together. You don't have to. I'm kidding. That no one is righteous. Nobody. Nobody. All right, so myth number one, that I'm not a bad person. Myth number two, next blank on your page, is that all sin is the same. All sin is the same. Now, this one caused me to scratch my head, and I had to do some research and some prayer over this. But I think some of the root of this is the fact that, like, you know, people say, who are you to judge me? what you're doing is no worse than what I'm doing. Ever heard anybody say that before or have that reaction? Have you ever felt that yourself? I mean, it's okay. We can be real. It's just us. Of course. Of course. But God never said that. God did say that all unforgiven sin leads to eternal death. That's exactly right, Billy. All unforgiven sin leads to death. But not all sin is the same. Let's look at what Paul wrote to the church in Rome. Romans chapter 3, 23. For the wages of sin is death. Look at this word right here, wages. What does the word wage mean? That's what you're paid, right? That's what you earn from your job. You may get a wage, you may get paid weekly or every 2 weeks or monthly or whenever they decide to pay you, I don't know. But the wages, this is what we've earned of sin, is death. The wages of sin is death. This is the bad news. We all admitted that we're broken and that we've got sin in our lives, that we've done things before that have broken the heart of God. But, Paul goes on to write, the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Today, we are going to really be examining our behavior. But I want to tell you before we even dive into the majority of this message that you and I, left to our own selves, will never have the power to get free from our bad choices. It's only through the gospel. It is only through Jesus Christ's shed blood, broken body, sacrifice on our behalf that we can ever change our direction. Because all of us, what have all of us earned? All of us have earned death because of what we've done in our lives. But Jesus Christ, God loved us so much that he sent his son here and he lived an absolutely perfect life where he never deviated from what God wanted him to do. And we all know that there are things in our lives that we have done that have broken God's heart because they've gone against his law. But see, until we realize that Jesus Christ came for us, Paul, the writer of the majority of the New Testament, said of himself that he is the chief of sinners. Until we can realize, guys, that we're broken, that we're messed up, and that we need, not just want or desire or add on to, or we can tack it on, or we can check off the list on Sunday that we've come to church, but until we really realize that we have to follow Jesus Christ with all of our life, we'll never be able to escape our behavior. Behavior modification leads to nothing but hiding in your sin. And that's not what God wants for any of you. God wants us to live a life of freedom. He wants us to live a life of purpose. And the only way that we can do that is to turn from ourselves. The word's called repent. And it just means to simply turn away from following what we want to do in our life and turn back to God. And guys, repentance, this is so good because even the gift of repentance is something that has to be practiced on and on and on and on and on. It doesn't just happen that one time when you choose to make Jesus the Lord of your life. It happens each and every time that you feel the Holy Spirit working in your life. And guys, I am super, super passionate about this because God has been working on my life and my heart about those things in me that fall short of what he wants. Guys, this week, God has really kind of revealed in my life that I tend to go to the sin of worry quite a bit. And I realized that through that, as I turn back to God, when I worry, I'm trying to take control back of my own life. But God has got me. And the closer I see him, the more clearly I'm able to see him, the more clearly I'm able to see myself. And to see that the only way for me to defeat this sin is through Christ living in me and living into the gospel. Because we're talking about our behavior today, but please realize you can't change your behavior on your own. It's only through the power of God in your life. All right, good. So we can move on from there. All right, so thinking about this myth that all sin is the same, there are different consequences here on earth for different sins. I think that's really easy to see. But let's look at some of those consequences now. And I'm going to look at two sins in particular. The first one is gluttony. How many of you guys know what the word gluttony means? Okay, what does gluttony mean? Overeating, right? Overindulging. Now, at camp this past week, for lunch and dinner, they had an ice cream machine. And they had unlimited ice cream. And this is the confession time here. Your student pastor practiced gluttony because I don't have an ice cream machine at home. Any of you guys have an ice cream machine at home? Man, I was about to invite myself over to your place this afternoon if you did. But gluttony, and what's the worst that can happen if you're gluttonous quite a bit? Okay. I was just thinking about this right here, but okay. There are worse consequences than that. But listen, let's compare this, and let's get real. Let's compare this sin with the consequences to the sin of adultery. I mean, the consequences are far worse for this sin. Here on earth, I'm talking about here on earth, the consequences that we experience here, okay? So all sin is not really the same, is it? Based on the consequences we receive. But also, you know, Scripture, and as I dug through this, I didn't really believe it 100% at first, but as I saw God reveal to me more Scripture, the way that we behave, our choices here on earth, also impact eternity. So our consequences later, Scripture talks about those of us who are in Christ, his saints, based on what we do here on earth, we'll receive different rewards. But it also, I've seen some verses, and this surprised me more than the earlier one, but there are implications about how we live that influence our people's possible punishment in hell. I want us to look at this together because I think it's super, super helpful. Now listen to me, okay, listen. All unforgiven sin has the same punishment, but all forgiven sin has the same reward. But then there are, based on how we live after that, determines what we're going to look at now. So guys, look at me in Luke chapter 20, verse 45. 47. Yeah, it's not right. Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and love greetings in the marketplaces and the best seats in the synagogue and the places of honor at feasts. This is Jesus here talking to the crowd. Who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers, they will receive the what? Condemnation. They will receive the greater condemnation. And as I was digging into this example and looking at the context, you know, the Scripture tells us, James, the brother of Jesus, tells us that true religion before God the Father is this: to help widows in their distress and to seek after those who are in need. So the sin here that Jesus is pointing out in the Jewish leaders is the sin of hypocrisy. The sin of hypocrisy, making pretense with long prayers of not doing what God has commanded them to do. At camp this week, we were looking at Acts chapters 1 through 11. And there's a great story that popped up that I looked at from a different angle this week. In Acts chapter 5, there's the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Raise your hand if you've ever heard that story before. Okay, Ananias and Sapphira. This was the start of the early church. This is after Jesus has gone back into heaven. He's told his guys what they need to do and to go out after that. And they were just starting the early church. And we see Ananias and Sapphira compared with Barnabas as Luke was writing the book of Acts. So we have Barnabas here. Barnabas, his name means the son of encouragement. He was super, super generous, and he's compared with Ananias and Sapphira. So what they did is the early church, they would sell all that they had, and they would share collectively out of their own need. So Barnabas had given some money to the church, and Ananias and Sapphira had sold a piece of land that they have and gave some of the money to the church, but not all of the money to the church, and they had pretended like they had given it all. Guess what happened to Ananias and Sapphira? That's right. They were killed by God. How's that for justice? Well, how's that for mercy? But really, at the beginning of the early church, the sin of hypocrisy that the Jewish leaders were setting an example of, God did not want any of that in the beginning, in the epicenter, in the infancy of the early church. And that's why God was harsh about their hypocrisy and their lying. Kind of make you think twice about what you put in the offering plate, right? No, I'm kidding. But I think it really speaks to the heart of those of us who have made Jesus the Lord of our lives, but how we live after that. Something else, another verse I want you guys to look at with me is John chapter 19, verse 11. And then this is when Jesus had already been arrested and gone through the mock trial, and he's talking to Pontius Pilate here. Jesus is telling Pilate that you would have no power over me at all unless it were given to you from above. So the one who handed me over to you has the greater sin. So greater implies that there's a lesser sin, right? Just from a cursory reading of scripture. I think the next verse we see has some serious implications for our lives. And the way that Paul wrote it just really speaks to my heart and talks about how egregious this sin is. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, chapter 6, verse 18, to flee from sexual immorality. Did Paul say fight sexual immorality? Did he say resist sexual immorality? You can answer. It's okay. No, he said to flee. What does flee mean? Run. Run like your life depended on it. And you see, sexual immorality, he goes through a list of sins, and in every other one of those, he tells us through the Spirit's power that we're to fight or to resist these sins. But guys, because sexual immorality is so, it reflects so heavily on our body and the reputation that we receive, that we're supposed to flee, not be in the presence of it at all, to flee, to run away. Guys, listen, please listen. How we live, the choices that we make, affect our lives here on earth, but also into eternity. Myth number two, all sin is the same. Again, guys, say it with me. Behavior follows belief. The third myth that I want us to bust right now is that since I've already done it, I might as well keep on doing it. Next blank on your page. Since I've already done it, I might as well keep on doing it. Now this looks different in different people's lives, in different stages of their life. I'm just going to hit some highlights here, and if this is you, sorry. But to the teenager or the young adult, God has a plan for your life. God's plan is for redemption. But the thought process that I'm not a virgin anymore, so I might as well keep on doing it, is a myth. Guys, if you struggle with addiction to certain substances, just because you've done drugs before doesn't mean that you should keep on doing it, guys. Maybe you've cheated and gotten away with it and haven't gotten caught. Or maybe you looked at something you weren't supposed to look at and you covered your tracks, so you might as well keep on doing it. Guys, listen. That tramples on the grace of God. So you guys remember earlier, how we were talking about how we're all in the same boat, being lying, thieving adulterers, okay? Well, we're in good company because Paul was dealing with this issue about 2,000 years ago, too. So he wrote again to the church at Rome in chapter 6. He wrote, Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Verse 2, of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? How can we continue to live in it? The best picture or symbol that I could kind of come up with to represent the idea that Paul is trying to get behind here is baptism, and that symbol of what it means when we come to Christ and how we show the world that we've accepted Jesus as our Savior. And in that beautiful symbol of baptisms, raise your hand if you've seen, you've been baptized before, just so we're all on the same page. Okay, so within baptism, what you do is that as you are dipped, immersed under the water, that's a picture of you in yourself dying to your old ways, dying to the way that you lived in the past and following and looking out for your own self. As you die to that, that's a symbol. And when you rise from the grave, that is symbolic of the new life that you now live in Christ. And through the Holy Spirit, he causes you to change your want to. He causes you to change what your desires are. And instead of desiring to continue in sin and those bad habits that you were caught in, you desire to draw closer to God. Where you may have never thought you'd wanted to read the Bible before, man, it just becomes alive to you. I'm not talking that it becomes easy because it's a discipline, but it speaks to you in a different way. Where you thought it was boring as could be to sit in with another group of people listening to a guy up here talk about Jesus, it comes more real to you. That's what it means. When we die to ourselves, why can you keep on sinning? It's impossible. We've died to sin. How do we now come back and live in it? And guys, a lot of times I think that one of the best marks of spiritual maturity, I want all of us to get this, okay? Spiritual maturity is not about how much we know. Spiritual maturity is not about how much we know, but it's about how much we obey. Not about how much we know, it's about how much we obey. A lot of times I know people say that they want to get deeper and learn more scripture, but you know, Mark chapter 10 verse 45 says that the Son of Man came to serve and not to be served. And I believe that you're never more like Jesus Christ when you're serving. If we love Jesus, if we die to ourselves and chose to follow him, we will obey him. It's kind of two sides of the same coin. And I'm saying this about myself, because I'm putting myself in this category too. Most Christians today, we are educated far beyond our level of obedience. You remember the story. You remember the story, the lawyer asked Jesus, what's the most important command? That's right. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Guys, I also want to tell you, man, because my heart cries out for the church, us who have chosen to give our lives to Christ, but still go back to our sin. Man, if we want to see true revival and revolution in our communities and the world, it starts here. It starts here, but it starts here first. Okay? Guys, because I know that the most miserable person in the world is not the person that doesn't know Jesus Christ. The most miserable person in this world is the one who knows Christ and knows the freedom that they can have in him, but still chooses to go back to their old way, to go back to their own sin nature, because they know that they've tapped into the power, but they still fall back in their own ways. Now listen, in your own power, you can do none of this. Again, behavior follows what we believe. But when we believe that Jesus Christ has come to save sinners, and we, first of all, are the most, then we will understand that it's his power that lives through us. We have died to sin, and we live in Jesus Christ. And guys, listen, I never want it to sound like I've got it all together here, because we're all going through this Christian life together. You know, the process of salvation, and this is so good, I think we do a really bad job of teaching salvation well in our churches, is that it's an event and it's a process. There's a day, a time in your life when you choose to submit to the Lordship of Christ and commit to follow Him, to turn from yourself. But it's also a process. This is a great illustration that I came up with based on a little house cleaning that I was doing yesterday. So I went to the living room and I was sweeping. And guys, I don't know if you can relate to this, but I really just kind of swept the area of the room that got the most foot traffic. And Sarah says, why don't you move the furniture and, you know, sweep under there too? And I kind of thought, why would we do that? It can't be that dirty under there. But after I moved the coffee table out and I moved our couches back from the wall, there were some pretty big dust bunnies hiding under there. And I think that's a great illustration of when we're walking closer to Jesus as the light, we're able to see more of the dirt in our lives too. You know, it wasn't until I actually looked that I was able to see how dirty it was in those places. But guys, as we pursue Jesus hard, as we want to walk close with Him, as we're pursuing holiness and stepping into the life that He has for us, He's going to reveal some stuff in your life that you don't like. And you may have not had a problem with it before, but now that you're running hard after Jesus, yeah, when you see Him for who He is and see ourselves for who we are, man, we will want to turn from that as quick as possible. I know a good gauge, I think, for me sometimes when I think about it, I think a good gauge for your spiritual maturity is to see how much time it takes you from when God reveals something in your life that you're still holding on to and the time it takes to ask Him to forgive you for that or the time it takes you to repent. That's a real mark of spiritual maturity, I think. So guys, the more we talk and the more we listen to God, the more we'll see Him as He is and us as we are. And I think that the more we see that, we'll understand that we ourselves are sinners in need of a Savior. And we recognize more clearly that Jesus didn't come for the healthy, but He came for the sick. And that's us. And that's the best news ever. Paul wrote, again, to the Corinthian church, we looked at this a little bit last week in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that the temptations in our life are no different from what others experience. But catch this, guys. God is faithful. God is faithful. We looked at this last week. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, He will show you a way out so that you can endure. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, that I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Guys, I'm here to tell you today that Jesus is the way out. Jesus is the truth that sets us free. And Jesus is the life that endures forever. So we've looked at three myths already about how our culture defines our behaviors. Bank this, behavior follows belief. We see that we busted the myth that we're not a bad person. We busted the myth that all sin is the same. We busted the myth that since I've already done it, I might as well keep doing it. But I want to leave you guys with some truth. Truth, this is the next blank on your page. Sin does cost us, but Jesus is bigger than our sin. Sin does cost us, but Jesus is bigger than our sin. There's a great song, and it's called Nothing is Wasted. And as I've thought and sung that song, the sins that we all have, all the baggage that we bring in life, even those sins, those mistakes, those missteps that you have gone through in your path, Jesus is in the business of redemption. He's going to redeem your mistakes and the situations that you've been through in your past, and he is going to provide you with an opportunity to speak life into the someone who has made those same mistakes. Jesus' gift of grace is so good, he takes our ashes and turns them into beauty. John, again, chapter 1, verse 8 said, we saw this earlier, if we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But this is so good. But if we confess our sins to him, he is what? He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.